Welcome to the Excel Magazine podcast. Dive deep with us into the mesmerizing world of immersive tech, where we bring you conversations with the trailblazers of XR, AI, and spatial computing. If you're curious about what's on the horizon and eager to be inspired, you're in the right place. Tune in and let's explore the digital frontier together. Today, we have in the podcast the presence of Tim Fu, who is a renowned architectural designer specialized in advanced computation and artificial intelligence. Emerging from Zaha Hadid Architects, he has founded a studio TimFu, a high-tech design practice pioneering the integration of AI into visionary design. As an active educator, he runs workshops at Harvard GSD PA Academy and has lectured in various universities and conferences globally. Leveraging digital platforms, Tim has also built a notable online presence, sharing insights into the overlap of technology and design. His AI explorations have been featured worldwide, including Sky News, Bloomberg, AD, Gen AI Summit, NXT, BLD, and has been exhibited during the Venice Biennale. Sounds super, super exciting. We definitely are going to enjoy so much this conversation. I can't wait to begin. Let's do it. Thank you so much, Tim, for being here today. Super excited to have you here. How is everything going in London?
Yeah, thanks for the invitation, Diana. I think it's been good, pretty busy. A lot of the stuff I've been blowing up since the AI boom, if you will. So I have to do a lot of things related with talking about the technology as well as starting my own firm. So busy times.
Yeah, thank you so much. So to start off, could you please let us know a little bit about your background? You have an amazing story, and of course, we want to get inspired.
Yeah, my background is in architectural practice. I studied architecture in Canada, and then I did my master's at the Architectural Association in London. So from there, I decided to stay here. And it's a great place for me to find more opportunities to be on the cutting edge of technology when it comes to the practice. So I worked for several firms, and my most recent one was with Zaha Hadid Architects for more than 2 years. I was in the computational design research department. So as a one of the members that are researching at the, you know, the cutting edge of these technologies in its application to architecture, you get to learn a lot about the industry and how you can readily deploy these new technologies in the practice. So I've been doing that for more than 2 years. And most recently, like, I've been getting a lot of attention from media through my own research with artificial intelligence. And so because of that, I deviated from that particular practice. And then I started to found my own practice, Studio TimFu. So that's where I am today, at the very beginning of my practice. And I'm trying to see where we can guide this firm to through this new era of AI so that we can utilize it to its full advantage.
Yeah, it sounds super exciting, especially because you have such a progressive mind. And I think that this is a great inspiration for many professionals, actually, not only architecture, but we can draw a lot from that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. So the next question would be that you have practice independently as well. You have created many products. You even have partnered or collaborated with certain companies. What have been some of the challenges that you've seen implementing AI, like at what stage it is right now for creation?
I think the biggest challenge is probably the people's uncertainty to the technology. I think the technology itself is nothing too surprising in many regards, because we are always on the front line of figuring out what a new technology is and what it can provide for us. So we're ready to use it where it's useful. But at the same time, including clients and other collaborators, if they're not familiar about the technology, or if the technology is so new that they don't know much about it, I think requires a bit of convincing for the rest of the society to, or the industry to adapt. So a lot of our discussions, our conversations are revolving around, you know, convincing the associated partners, individuals, why we should be adapting this technology. And the other part of our work is just doing it, taking the technology for a spin, for a run, and presenting the solutions and the results for clients, for individuals, so that they can see that this is the state of the art technology and how it's currently being developed is in many ways superior than any designers without this technology. So in a way, it's to convince to the rest of the world how we should be using this technology. And so that's the main challenge. Yeah.
And that sounds as well as an opportunity in itself, because you are one of those leading minds. You are the leader there, established, and people is believing, of course, what you are sharing because of your experience, your expertise, all of that. So that's great as well to be leading the next generations. And conversely, what are the limitations that have happened in architecture that now AI is able to solve?
I think the AI has a special, unique ability to resolve a lot of problems with a plethora of solutions. So I think the paradigm shift comes from being able to provide a lot of solution in a very short amount of time. Prior to that, we were manually seeking for solutions for various tasks in architecture, going from structural optimization and calculations to rationalization or panelization of complex geometries, all of which were more so a manual task until then you have certain algorithms and algorithmic computational design that is developed to expedite this process. And now we have a fundamentally different form of how we can expedite the process by the use of these type of super intelligence, if you will. They're able to provide a lot more solutions in a lot less time. Going straight from the design phase, we're able to explore so much options. Prior to that, we were using, for example, you know, Pinterest or Google Images to even do some preliminary design studies, to do some precedence research. And now directly, we can start to prompt out certain ideas through text into the text to image database and generate results that are a lot more refined and tailored towards what we're looking for. And from then on, you then develop the design further by manipulating these algorithms to design towards your intentions. So right off the bat, you're already using, you're harnessing a huge database of images to your desired results. And then you are curating, you're prompting, and you're evolving the design towards what you have in mind as an architect. So there's a lot of control that's involved already. And by the time you have an image results that comes out, you have a good idea of, for example, spatial quality, lighting quality, the color themes, material palettes, and form expression, how architectonic the form and light, things that you would think about more conceptually in the early phases are now given this sort of advantage through AI to give you so many options. So from there, you then try to use AI, other forms of AI for optimization to further the process. So that the entire streamline, I think there's many ways that you can use machine intelligence to replace what was traditionally a human endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So we're a little familiar, or some of us commercially, because this is spread out throughout the world, about these models right now that we can access, like, for example, Midjourney, Stable Diffusion, etc. So some people in the field have heard about them. I'm curious about what would be these other models or forms of AI that could be used, if you know of any, to even further the design process more, just not the concept design, but a little bit farther. Do you have any idea about those models or anything like that?
Yeah, so I mean, the AI field is exploding right now, and I mean that by on all facets. When I was at these AI summits speaking with other industry leaders, the one thing that we all have in common is our understanding that this is just the beginning and things are kind of really pacing together up and blowing up, including, for example, the development of large language models. These type of artificial intelligence algorithms are going to be able to, in a way, sort of map out your problems to be solved rationally and with a sort of base knowledge of the physical world, if you will. So it's not a pattern recognition, and it's not merely reproducing results based on suggestions, but it's actually able to kind of understand your problems and give you solutions. Like, I've had initial phases with ChatGPT and trying to use that in architectural practice, only to a certain extent, but already I can see that it has a fundamental understanding of certain human parameters of what we think about in architecture. And so as these technology progress, large language models will be able to take over certain aspects of those designs. For example, resolving certain conceptual design to a detailed level and potentially streamlining, connecting directly to building information modeling softwares like Revit and allowing you to produce catalog of, you know, everything that you need to assemble your architecture to give you a very accurate budget analysis, very accurate solar and sustainable ecological analysis, and give you all of these quantifiable data to really ensure that the output, both the input in the creative phase is relevant, as well as the output of all the quantitative measurable data sets will be something that you optimized directly with artificial intelligence. So it really cuts down a lot of the human need to input, where all the specialists need to kind of go down to either direction. The HVAC systems need to be done manually, or the facade systems, because that's how we practice currently in our industry. We have these compartmentalized specialists, each dealing with their own things. And so we're right now a network of collective human intelligence. And right now we're going to transition to become a collective of semi-human, semi-automated intelligence. And we're going to progress into that industry in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And it seems you've also been working, of course, with the other steps that happen later in the design related with even 3D printing. You've created some projects there. So where do you see architecture going in that direction, besides all these use of data, more advanced data, for complementing the design process? And how about the other stages?
Yeah, so when you mention these robotic fabrication and digital fabrication technologies, that's also a big leeway and important segment for machine intelligence, robotics, and automation to take form as well. So what I mentioned prior to this was the concept to detailing phase. And now when you're talking about construction phases, obviously, the advancement of robotic arm assembly fabrication is one aspect. Additive manufacturing, like 3D printing, potentially out of concrete. These are already sort of being readily adapted into the industry. And we see a lot of early examples of, for example, concrete printing. And so when you are able to allow machine to create everything completely digitally, resolve it structurally and ecologically and budget-wise, everything is resolved, then all is needed is the assembly and construction. And if we create a robotic streamline, a machine streamline that allows for these type of machines to readily produce what we design, then that also cuts a lot of the human task force required and a potential for human imprecisions, inaccuracies, which machines are a lot capable of doing much better job with than what humans can do. For example, what you see in 3D printing. So I think we're able to construct a lot more complex forms, a lot more readily, a lot more feasibly. So in a way, with the advancements of these technologies, the way we think and approach design is also evolving. Like right now, we are stopping the post-industrial method of thinking where we're trying to create minimalist, simple rectilinear forms, like repeatable forms, modules. This is kind of like the early, you know, 21st century thought process in which we're trying to design for that functionality. And now we can go back to maybe celebrate the revered complexities and ornamentations that we have really looked at in the past, in the classical eras. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can really reinvigorate the architectural discourse with a lot of the values we held dear in the past in the classical era. Now being able to be revived again due to the advancement of machine fabrication.
Yeah, and that sounds super exciting because, of course, it's new ways of creating, new ways of like visually appealing structures, complexity there that is all developed through the co-creation human machine, and that's a very exciting field. So when you were mentioning there about the robotics, we were speaking about the 3D printing, and of course we were discussing about the concept design stage. It seems a lot of complexity to navigate through, maybe not even thinking traditional designers, but maybe more modern designers that want to undertake this challenge. So how do you foresee, from the point of view of architects, getting into this and evolving? How do you foresee this? What was your vision about the profession of architecture in all of this landscape?
Yeah, I think there is something to address about the fundamental shift of how we think about design and the architectural practice. Because, you know, as we say nowadays, it's more about how you think about the process of design rather than the output. And as machines become more capable of producing complex tasks and thinking for themselves in some regards, then, for example, a field of design called generative design will be something that we probably would tap into more often in the future, where instead of designating an idea or a design specifically top down, you come up with a concept of the process of the behaviors of design are localized, and then you allow the machine to generate the results for you. So in many ways, it's kind of like learning to code the DNA of your architecture as opposed to a top-down approach, you know, because that's kind of like the current paradigm of architecture. So I think both in architectural education as well as the industry right now, we are starting to favor this new method of thinking where we are going to kind of throw away the way we've done things in the past and allow for a more generative and less predictable methods to take place. So I think the future, what we'll see, is more akin to how nature is being produced. For example, when you design, if you were to design a forest, you know, if forests were to be designed, you wouldn't plant tree by tree and say that this is how I would design it on a macro scale, but you would go bottom up. You would say that this tree has this particular behavior, and then it needs to be this far apart with the radius to the next tree, and it needs to grow in this fractalized pattern to the branches in order to maximize its spatial sort of its surface area when they're talking about obtaining maximum solar exposure. So these are kind of like the DNA of the behavior of how you want to optimize its behavior, optimize its form. So then I think architecture can very much grow into existence in the future in a more sustainable, environmentally aware sense. So the future of our world, I would, you know, hopefully see as a more of an organic, not just in terms of form, but in terms of the approach, the philosophy to its design, that is going to be something generative, much like how trees are grown, that we won't plan building by building, but we will plan the robots to and the AI to program, to create a programmatic scheme based off of certain rules and sets that we've put at a local level, like how you want our housing shelters to look like, far away from neighbors or close, how many terraces, what the architectural social functions are, and how close it is to certain proximities of nodal points in the city, and how we organize our public streets, our public spaces. So we create a sense of different spaces with these architecture through these implicit rules as opposed to explicit. So I think that's something that's going to be taking over more and more so often. And we will see a fundamental shift in how we think about architectural design and urban planning as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm reflecting on that, and particularly when we speak about human architects have been recognized for having certain sensibilities towards emotion and cultural nuances. What do you feel about this intersection with machine, human? Can AI at some point, based on what you've seen AI creating, also showcase those type of emotional and cultural nuances?
So here is where I think the human input becomes more important. While I will admit that artificial intelligence will always be able to predict to a certain extent what humans are looking for example, like predictive search, kind of like hallucinate the results of what you want based on your past behaviors. And it's always going to do that to a certain degree of accuracy. But I think when you're thinking about art and culture and design at a very top level, you have like a very clear idea. And the idea that you create about how you want to introduce a new idea to society, I think that's a fundamentally much more human endeavor. And I don't think machine currently will be able to tell you that this idea should be the next thing. But what it can do is generate a plethora of ideas in which you can choose from. So in that sense, I think it is a pool. It is a cornucopia of ideation. But in the end, it's kind of like you're the museum curator and you have a plethora of artists to showcase in your museum. But in the end, you're in control and you have to select what narrative you want to tell, what type of artist is going to be seen as the greatest value during the current time that you are displaying. There's a lot of human and cultural parameters in which I think fundamentally they're human. And as of yet, I don't think machines are capable of doing anything beyond predicting what's potentially welcomed. But I also think this is probably where you want to draw the line, where you want the humans to always proliferate as the leaders and not have the machine take over everything. And I think this is one of those things that you do want to make sure that the human is at the very top level of the decision making, because human art and culture, everything that we produce, we're ultimately the own audience. We're our own audience. We're the receiver, and we're the continuation of our own ideologies and cultures and trends. So I hope that this particular process will remain human. Otherwise, you know, at what point do we stop becoming human and everything becomes machine generated? It can be a slippery slope. So I hope at least this part is fundamentally a human endeavor.
Yeah, that's the most common concern that we hear around about that aspect and related with ethics and stuff. But yeah, very, very interesting point. Very important. Thank you. And so let's talk a little bit about Studio Thimphu, because I am so honored to be able to interview you now for such an innovative endeavor. And I say it because perhaps you're the first studio, maybe that is like this of this kind. And so right now you have a certain probably mission and of course you have certain projections. And so what is the specific work that you are aiming to create? With what tools, maybe, and what's the vision that you have for Studio Thimphu? That's super exciting, something new.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're right. This is a bit of a turning point for me and potentially for how this industry can be thought of in the future. I really hope to be a thought leader and an industry leader in trying to really incorporate the essence of machine learning and artificial intelligence to as much aspects of the design process as possible in a way where the autonomy of the machine is here to aid us in our, to guide us to produce a more feasible, streamlined, ecological, and sustainable method of construction for the future of our world in ways that we haven't seen currently. I think there's a lot of things that, ideas that are compartmentalized in different aspects that I've seen that I think will be adaptable in the near future And there's a lot of things that I'm currently going through with trying to manage in order to make it happen. Basically, there are different ideas that I have a certain understanding of to the extent that it can be applied. Some things that I've applied to a certain degree in the offices I worked at with advanced cutting technology, but also a lot of things that I've done my own research for, even in the academia, where I think there are a lot of readily available technologies already that just has not been adapted to such a massive extent. And with the help of the newly emerged artificial intelligence technologies and large language models, it calls for all these technologies to be put in practice, because I think it's current era that we can actually weave together all of these technologies in a very synthesized way of operating. So I can't go into too much details about how the technicalities of how it's going to work, but in essence, it's about taking automation to its fullest extent. Wherever we see in the production cycle, going from the concept to detailing to construction, any place that you can see where AI can be used to tie two tasks together so that it's a streamline is something that I will be pushing for, so that this holistic process becomes linear, and you have an idea, you allow the machine to automate as much as possible, and the results will be there at a high performance rate, calculated for, addressed for all these details, so that the overall production speed as well will increase gradually. So let's see where this goes, because I think it's going to also change the pace of our AEC industry, potentially, if there's some sort of a setup that can be mass produced. We will see how much faster ideas can be constructed to reality by using AI to automate all this process in between.
That sounds amazing. And we're super, super excited about Studio Teamfu, and of course about every single creation that you make, because it showcases such a high level of innovation and creativity. So thank you so much for this amazing interview. If you have any friends or family that would be interested in this episode, please consider sharing it. Please like and subscribe. And for Tim, is there anything else that you wish I had asked you today?
Not on the top of my head. Good questions all around. So I think we covered everything.
Thank you so much. Where can people get a hold of you if they are looking to maybe get some education, or maybe if they are looking to create some sort of collaboration or partnership?
Yeah, all my contacts and information, including courses, as well as my publications, everything is on my website, timfu.com. Otherwise, you can also follow me on my social media, Instagram, ti.fu, where I share a lot of my architectural concept creations.
Thank you so much. That sounds amazing. And of course, we are all wishing the best for you and Studio Teamfu. And please keep us updated.
Great. Thanks so much, Diana.
Thank you so much, and see you in the next episode. Bye.